Blog Talk Radio.
This is from Kelly Manjaro, Tanzania. Como yo pues he had some normal people here, man. It's gonna go everywhere in Africa. Why see? I'm gonna tell you about Homo yo.
You wanna hear about what I wanna tell about? Nataka kukikia, nachotaka kuongea. Homo yo pasi, homo yo pasi. Homo yo pasi, homo yo pasi.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. From time to time, we will have a special presentation on a variety of topics. Homeopathy is a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooks. Please contact HWC if you would like to help support the show as a sustaining member or have suggestions for future shows. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Please share by tweeting on Twitter, posting on Facebook and MySpace, and all other social networks. You may select the widget and place the player on your blog or website. With gratitude to all our listeners, let's go! Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is February 22nd, 2000. Oh, I think I said 2012 the last time, but it's actually 2000. It is 2012. I think I said 2011. I'm still back a year. So we're going to try and get Dr. Rajneesh on the line with us. And we just need to talk him through how to get on the show. Basically, what you have to do is you have to go onto the Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community show page, and once you have to go onto the show page and then click onto the Skype button on when it says it's on air. And in order to do that, you might need to refresh your page and see that we are on air live talking to all listeners on the internet, and we also have a chat window open. If the chat's not working, somebody just let me know right there and send me a message somehow, or you can call in and let me know. So hopefully Dr. Rajneesh will figure out how to get on to the show, because we have been planning this for some time. He has been a regular contributor to Homeopathy World Community since it opened in 2009, and has written, I don't know if I've written, he's written 70 forum discussions and participated in 602. So that is quite a feat over this amount of time. And he's quite a prominent member and a great advisor. On Homeopathy World Community, we did a special in focus about him in the recent News Digest, where you can read and download his biographical data and a long list of publications that we couldn't possibly post onto the website. And I'm just going to check and see again if he is possibly signing out and starting in again. Thank you for your patience to all those people who are still listening to the show as we get through the little technical difficulties. I think getting onto the Blog Talk Radio show for the very first time is a real learning experience. For those people who have never done it, it's brand new. And for those people coming in from India or another country, very often they don't have the bandwidth on their internet to come in straight away and figure it out. And if you give me a moment to check with Dr. Rajneesh, because I know he is on the internet, he's with me on Skype, but he is not able to sign in to the show page. And again, I would recommend closing down the web page and maybe restarting it to the link, and I can give that link is to homeopathy. It's www.blogtalkradiohomeopathyworldcommunity, www.blogtalkradio.com/homeopathyworldcommunity, and just restart to get to that page. And once you get there, you will see that there's a red flashing on-air button and a little blue Skype where you can just click it, and it should link you in. Okay, so he is trying to get on. And a little bit more background about Dr. Rajneesh. He came from a very poor family in India, and his determination and self-reliance throughout his life, he has put in so much effort and work and has become a prominent homeopathic physician, and also has had many personal life and health challenges himself in which homeopathy has seen him through. He completed his BSc and BHMS degrees with many honors, awards, and distinctions, and getting his medical degree and his MD degree as well. He has a Bachelor of Science, and for those people who are knowledgeable about the Indian system, First Division, Kumaon University, and a Bachelor of Homeopathic Medicine and Surgery with honors from Agra University, and his Doctor of Medicine in Rajasthan Ayurved University in Jodhpur. And as I was saying, he did come from a very, very poor, poverty-stricken family, and he struggled to establish himself and to support himself through all of these universities, through taking on part-time jobs. And many people today do that all over the world to get through school. He said he worked 16 hours per day, and that is why when we stress ourselves, when we stress our heart, when we overstress our mind even, there are homeopathic remedies to support us, but we also know that we must take special care of our health by giving ourselves rest periods, just like the heart does need to find time to rest. In addition, he went through a very difficult life situation this past couple of years ago, where his entire home was threatened with robbery. And at that time, he's having trouble getting on to the air for some reason. I'm going to try and contact him to see if he sees the Skype button. And if we're unable to get him onto the air today, we will probably reschedule. Because sometimes things do not connect. And yesterday I was watching another show on another video, and the internet just did not connect all of the co-hosts that the person was trying to get onto the air. So possibly I will have to do a test program with him and maybe reschedule, or possibly pre-record a special program with him and just upload it so that you can hear his voice and hear his wisdom about life, about love. It looks like he got on the air. So welcome, Dr. Rajneesh Sharmar. How are you doing? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Do you hearing me?
Very Hello? Good. Very good. Very good.
Oh, thank God.
We have sound.
You're getting me to share my views on this. Yeah.
It's like landing.
Thank
it's
you very
like,
much for...
It's like landing on the moon.
Yeah. That's true. And thank you very much for inviting me to share my views on this omnipresent entity, the love. its interpretation and homeopathy philosophy. And welcome listeners and to share your questionnaires, to share your views and share your anxieties. Please let us start. Yeah.
Yes, we are ready to start, and we would like to just introduce the the topic of love. This is in honor of Valentine's Day, Valentine's Week, or Valentine's Month. It's just we're just talking about love because it is at the heart of our lives. It is what makes us happy. If our heart is happy, we are happy. And you have created for us a special repertory of love, which is can be found on Homeopathy World Community. We have a link from the News Digest from the front page to learn all about it. And so I just ask you to go ahead and begin. Tell us, how did you design this repertory and why did you do that?
Yeah. And the repertory, actually, there are a number of patients coming, complaining of the ailments appearing after some sort of events happened with their love partners or their disappointment with love or some alternation with love affections, like hacking cough after a disappointment from love. Acid force is a first grade remedy, and this is very characteristic. Acid force is no homeopathy physician is going to prescribe acid force for hacking cough, but if it is after disappointment, it becomes a first grade remedy in repertories. And that is why I tried to make a concise repertory on the ailments after love.
You decided to make the repertory because people don't think about it. When they hear a person coughing, they don't realize to make the connection that it could be with something dealing with the heart itself.
Of course. There are certain things which are related with biochemistry of love, that is dopamine, phenylethylamine, and serotonin, etc. And they in turn stimulate our brain tissue to develop some sort of problems. And the particular phenylethylamine, and that is an amphetamine, which is related to the brain tissue, that is a mood elevator. And whenever phenylethylamine or PEA or amphetamine is reduced in the bloodstream, it may induce the coughing or anxieties or breathlessness. This all may be due to the adjustment of the serotonin dopamine pathways.
Right, so you're getting very involved with the fact that this is a scientific study.
Yeah.
It's not just philosophy or theory. This is
definitely
based in the body chemistry, the body electric, the body pumping, all of the things that happen to the body related to the heart. And as Dr. Adil just related in the previous show, it's related to all of the organs. Help us understand a little bit more.
Actually, hypothalamus is the site of action. It is a controlling unit, controlling center of all the emotional events running in the brain, running in the body. And the chemical imbalance in the brain that stimulates the hypothalamus in different ways. And just the breathlessness or the anxieties or palpitations or the nervous coughs or dreams and the coldness of the extremities, the vasodilatations and vasoconstrictions, everything is governed with this hypothalamus. And hypothalamus is governed with emotions, and emotions with certain type of hormones or chemicals in the brain. Therefore, the love is a very key emotion to change the biochemistry of the brain. And thus, the lovers are affected a lot, just like the narcotic tranquilizer using patients.
Yes, so as we were discussing again with the creating this sensation of relaxation, so that it's all dealing with how we breathe, whether we have rapid breathing or we're deep, slow breathing, the pranayama breathing to assist the functioning of our heart, the blood, and the oxygen pumping through it. And now you're bringing in the brain chemistry as well.
First of all, we should learn what is love? What is the physiology behind that? I think
good question. This is a universal question.
What is love? I think love is any of a number of emotions related to the sense of a strong affection. It is a strong positive emotion of regard and affection that is soric in nature, actually. For example, he loved for his work. This is absolutely soric phenomenon. Any object of warm affection or devotion that is pseudo-soric or soric in nature, this is love. The theater was her first love. This is the example. Have a great affection or liking for something that is pseudo-soric or soric in nature. As I love French food. This is the example for that. Have great pleasure from something that is love. For example, I love cooking. This is sore or syphilis. A deep feeling of sexual desire and attraction that is psychotic in nature. Their love left him indifferent to their surroundings. This is psychotic love.
Can you explain just a few more little definitions? Because for those who are listening and may not understand, as you attach these different types of loves to miasmatic. So like when you say it's soric, it's psychotic. Thank you.
This can be understood in terms of biochemistry of the brain. Whenever there is slight deviation from the normal phenomenon of the reaction normally occurring inside the body, if the reactions inside the body are slightly changed in their intensity or direction or amplitude, there is sora. Whenever the slight deviation from the norm is there in the reaction, in the biochemistry of the brain, sora is there. And whenever anabolic reactions, resultants are being generated in more concentrated form or more amount, there is psychosis. And when there is plenty of catabolic reactions inside the brain, the resultants are deficient and the reactants are more in concentration, this is syphilitic reaction. In this way, we can say whenever phenylethylamine is reduced, it is syphilitic, and whenever increased, it is psychotic, and whenever it is slightly imbalanced, either fluctuating, sometimes in smaller doses, sometimes in a higher level, this is soric in nature. And the emotion developed after this concentration of the phenylethylamine, it denotes particular type of love affection, like supportiveness, joint activity, normal verbal communication, togetherness, and future commitment and feeling good, and telling the other person about one's feelings. These all are due to imbalance in the brain biochemistry. And in the term of miasms, we can understand what is happening there.
So would there be any doctors who would be measuring the output of these particular chemicals that you're discussing from the brain? Is there a way of measuring it to see if there is a dysfunction, or is it just normal and natural? I mean, if you're making a connection with the output of these chemicals. It disturbs me actually that people will say, I have been diagnosed with a chemical imbalance, and then are put on lithium or Ritalin or one other drug or another. So what do you say about that?
There is scientific explanation about the phenomenon. Whenever the serotonin level decreases in the brain, there is a sort of depression, and sometimes there is a obsessive compulsive neurosis due to low serotonin level. Whenever serotonin level is increased artificially by use of some serotonin elevators or selective serotonin receptor inhibitors in the oral form, and the serotonin level in the brain is increased temporarily or permanently, it acts as mood elevation, and OCD, obsessive compulsive neurosis, is reduced. Thus, the scientific explanation is there, and the serotonin, dopamine, and phenylethylamine in the brain is measurable, and doctors are measuring that in treatment of psychotherapies.
So you're recommending psychotherapy for people who have had this determination?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Psychotherapy is a must. Psychotherapy itself supports a patient very much. If someone has a strong will, the strong will and the strong willpower, it may balance the person as a self-entity. There is no need of remedy. And homeopathy remedies are the best because they enhance the vital force of the person and makes it in harmony. In other schools of treatment, there are use of chemicals, and chemical use it is also imbalancing the brain tissue. Therefore, the homeopathy should be better, and it is really better than any other therapy existing nowadays.
Okay. What else did you plan today to inform the listeners regarding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, we should know what are the constituents of the love. There are three constituents of the love. There are three components of love. First is relational, second is physiological, and third is behavior and non-verbal communication. Relational component is the commitment and security, which is syphilitic in nature. Physiological component is feeling of nervousness and warmth, that is pseudosoric or soric. And non-verbal communication capability is doing things with the other person or ways of looking at one another, that is soric in nature. And these components constitute a number of experiences. There are six type of main experiences in the love. First is supportiveness, that is collaborative love, that is soric or pseudosoric. Like carcinosin, you know, carcinosin is a wonderful drug for supportiveness, in feeling of supportiveness in the experience, as an experience of love. And next one is the joint activities, that is due to active love, that is soric in nature, like leopard. And
which one? I'm sorry, I missed the last one. You said lac caninum?
Lac leopardinum.
Lion? Lion?
Yeah, lion, yeah.
And you have used this one?
Yeah, I have used that drug, and that is wonderful drug. And third experience is the communicative feeling or non-verbal communication ability, that is intuitive love, that is soric and syphilitic. There are certain remedies, hyoscyamus mesarium, estramonium and veratrum, for this type of communication, non-verbal communication. Hyoscyamus mesarium, estramonium, veratrum. There are four drugs which communicate without words. And fourth experience is togetherness. This is committed love, like syphilitic and soric nature. Carcinosin and natrum sulf have committed love. And fifth experience is the future commitment and feeling of goodness. This is traditional romantic love, that is pseudosoric or soric in nature. And sixth experience is the telling the other persons about one's feelings. This is expressive love. Expressions are there, that is soric or psychotic, like phalinum, madurinum, podophyllum, etc. There are certain number of drugs. And after this, we can group the love into two major groups. First is B and second is D. B for being love and D for dependency love. There is a fact in different literatures I have seen. The men are called philos, F-I-L-O, and women are called L-I-F-O, lifo. Why? Men fall in love at a very earlier time, and they fall out of love very last. The first in and last out. This is philo. This is men.
And women, I've never heard of this.
This is brand new thing. Yeah, yeah. Therefore, I'm just interfering and telling this. The men is called philo, F-I-L-O, first in and late out. And the women are called lifo, last in and first out. Women fall in love very late. Hmm. And they are often out of love very at a very earlier point, at slightest deviation from the normal communications. So the women is lifo and men is philo. The being love, there are two categories, B for being love and D for dependency love. B love is it is positive and implying independence. This is soric and pseudosoric. And dependency love is negative and it is involving neediness. This is soric, syphilitic or psychotic. All the three are constituted there. And another distinction can be made as passionate love, which is steamy salt, soric in nature, which is driving primarily from physiological arousal and excitement. This is passionate love. Passionate love is a powerful emotional state, which is soric, and it is a state of intense longing for union with another. Psychotic and syphilitic tinted there. It is a complex functional thing, including appraisals or appreciations, subjective feelings, expressions, patterned physiological processes, action tendencies, and instrumental behaviors like soric and pseudosorics. Natrum carb nux vomica, you know, Kelly iode, lachesis. These are the examples of passionate love. And second one is a companionate love. Companionate love is a long-term attachment that marriage partners may have. This is psychotic or soric in nature. It is enhanced by an increased sense of commitment. It is comprised of feeling of calm, social comfort, emotional union, and the security felt in presence of a long-term mate. Like married persons, natrum youth, spongia, calicarb, and vanilla. This is also soric and pseudosoric in nature. And these are the different types of love we have. And the categories, there are certain type of love more, love, eros love, romantic love, ludus, stodge, pragma, mania, agape, etc., which can be discussed here.
Yes, it seems you have really piqued my interest that there are so many ways of looking at love and categories of love, and that people can fall into any, probably more
any
than
type
one,
of,
any type or more
yeah,
than
yeah.
one of these categories.
Yeah.
And how we can observe these things and notice them in the person. Are they positive? Are they healthy? Are the parameters behind these types of love? I know that... many people will say, who are in therapy or go to therapy, they say, this person is codependent. I don't necessarily find that that is wrong. I mean, if people are in love and are helping each other and depend upon each other, I'm not thinking that this is something that is not a healthy state of being. But it is termed so. What do you think about this codependency?
Yeah. There are certain types of loves regarding this category. There is a sort of union or sort of romantic love category that is eros, which focuses upon beauty and physical attractiveness and seen in persons who are sensitive to physical attachment and emotion. This is soric. When a person is attracted towards another one due to beauty and attractiveness, this is soric in nature, and this is eros. This is romantic love. This is temporary. And it is associated with lower blood serotonin level. Whenever serotonin blood level is very low, there is romantic love. And with lower serotonin transporter densities, romantic love is there. It is associated with elevated levels of dopamine and norepinephrine. So you can see here, serotonin level is low and dopamine and norepinephrine level is high. Then romantic love is there. This is known as eros, like antim crude, ignitia, tuberculinum, etc. And another one is ludus. This is game-playing love. It is like a game and is seen as a fun, not to be taken seriously. Soric or psychotic in nature. Serotonin level is very high and norepinephrine level is high, but dopamine is decreased in this case. And third one is a storge of friendship love, which is based on caring, not on passion. The person is storge love, believes that love grows from friendship, that lovers must share similar interests and enjoy the same activities, which is psychotic in nature. In this case, serotonin level is high, dopamine level is high, and norepinephrine level is low. Another one is pragma, that is logical shopping list love. It is a practical and based on the belief that the relationship has to work. Pragmatic lovers take account of their partner's background and characteristics like attitude, religion, politics, and hobbies. Pragmatic lovers are realistic and relatively unromantic. This is pseudosoric or soric. In this case, serotonin level is high and dopamine and norepinephrine both are low. And another one is manic love, possessive love or dependent love, which is essentially an uncertain and anxious type of love in which there is low serotonin level, high norepinephrine level and low dopamine level. The person having this type of biochemical syndrome becomes manic, Manic lovers get very zealous. That is psychotic in nature. And these persons typically believe in coming, believe in becoming ill or doing stupid things to regain their partner's attention. This is conversion reaction. Serotonin 2 receptor gene has been associated with this love state of mania, like arsenic, pulsatilla, nux, and stramonium.
Okay.
And the last one.
You have one more to say? I mean, this is a lot of information all at once without pausing to really go into depth today. So go ahead and do the last one.
Yeah, this is agape love. This is selfish, selfless love. This is all giving. Like a saint, it is selfless and compassionate and generally involves loving other human beings in an unqualified way, as preached by Jesus, Gandhi, Gautam Buddha, etc. Agape lovers would claim that they use their strength to help their partner through difficult time. This is soric and psychotic in nature, like Bell, Hyoscyamus, Hemimelis, Pulsatilla, and Carcinosin. This is a saint-like love. Yeah, this is the last group of the love.
Okay, so out of curiosity, I'm wondering, where do you find the data and the information regarding the different chemistry levels and how the dopamine, the serotonin, the melatonin, whatever it is, all of these different hormones and the chemistry, where do you get this? I'm in my mind, Dr. Rajneesh, I am picturing somebody sitting in a audio studio with dials moving them up and down to regulate what sound of melody is coming out and where the dynamics are. And are we able, I mean, this is just a natural phenomenon. I don't understand how we can create a balance or regulate all of these chemicals.
The theory behind this all serotonin level or that can be found in any textbook on biochemistry. And there is a textbook, Psychology of Relations, by Emma Kohler and Michael Eckhart. And another one is the textbook on Human Relationship, 4th edition, Steve Duck. These are the books which have detailed biochemistry or serology of love and other emotions.
I guess what I'm asking specifically is, how do you categorize and say, oh, this person, this man or this woman is having this category of love, and to measure what is the interrelationship of these chemicals, do they actually go in and take a blood sample? How do they know?
Of course. There are only two ways. One is clinical way and another one is pathological way. In pathological way, we have to draw a blood sample and to measure the different levels of various hormones or chemicals inside the brain and to categorize the type of love. And another one is clinical examination and clinical case history, which can we interpret like what balance would be there and the type of love can be defined.
Based on what the person speaks, you know, or based on actual observable symptoms in that person.
There are certain observable symptoms in certain persons which can categorize him or her in a particular type of love.
So whenever you take a case, are you using this as a running theme for a basic core issue in every person, in every patient?
In every patient, blood chemical analysis is not possible because it is too costly and patients are often trying to take homeopathy treatment due to it is little cheaper than other medical sciences, and it is very polite and gentle. There is no use of needle or no painful measures. Therefore, we avoid the blood sampling. But in certain cases, when the depression is so high or there is a marked imbalance or marked anxiety, the serum serotonin level or catecholamine level, that is very necessary, and we perform that.
So you take the clinical
lab,
And that helps you make a determination. But
yeah,
do you give them? What do you do for these people?
We categorize the personality into some particular group and select the remedy according to that.
So just for the listeners who are unfamiliar with this, you have a list of remedies that have been determined through history in the Materia Medica, in the repertory, that fall into a category of being soric, psychotic, from psychosis, or the other miasms. And then you can, that helps you to make a selection once you take a full case, a case history, or if only love is a major theme for that person. If the person comes in and says, I am lovesick, or I am depressed, or, but if they come in and they say, I'm nervous all the time, or,
Or something else.
I have a lump here. So, does the issue of the love analysis always come into? Go ahead.
Actually, from the very sight of a lover, we can categorize him at a glance. The dropped up lover's brain, they lit up the in the area associated with anxiety and pains and attempts at controlling anger as well as addictions, risk-taking, and obsessive-compulsive behaviors. Zilted lovers appear to experience a storm of passion. The passionate lovers, persons have strong sexual desire, plus anguish, and they feel rejection, rage, emptiness, and despair. In this way, we can categorize from clinical picture what type of lover he may be.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is that as you listen to the patient speak to you, based on the type of emotions that they express, you're able to find a category of this love repertory where you're going to find some remedies that will help in your determination.
Of course. That's true. And after during case taking, there are certain rare peculiar symptoms we can find, because there may be a disappointment of love, there may be a failure of love, there may be a multi-relationship type of love, there may be romantic love, there may be temporary love. There are certain points which we can categorize. Suppose there is a concomitant. There is pain in ovaries in lovesick girl. Antiprude is the remedy. We can categorize the remedies in this way also.
Okay. So basically, when you're doing an analysis, you have many different aspects that you you view the patient. You view the patient on their clinical, you know, what organ is being affected, or type of pain they are feeling.
What type of pain?
Right. And then on in another aspect of the analysis, which is which you put the totality of it all together, is this aspect of their emotions and how it is reflected in their love.
That's true.
In the world. And what about when they are just, do you take into consideration their life history? So whether they were nurtured and had love from the parent or were missing that love, how does that work?
These are categorized under causations. Suppose there is generalized anger from disappointed love, the causticum hyoscyamus ignitio lacus natimus like patients. There is a certain type of ailment there. Suppose anxiety is there after disappointment of love or after being loved. There is anxiety. The carcinosin or heparin may be the remedy. In such a way, we can find out the correct remedy. Suppose somebody is brooding after disappointment of the love. The acid force is the remedy. Thus, we can find out.
Okay, so what you're saying is a person may express the values of love that they have within in many ways besides just what we think of as the heart or cuddly or even mentioning the word love. They may not even mention the word love, but they might say, I have this feeling of jealousy or incredible anger or rage, or talk about another person or about themselves in such a way that you know it is related to love, even though it's expressed in many other
of course
elements. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there is,
So you're using your repertory of love. It comes in helpful, and we have it on the website on Homeopathy World Community, where people can start to read through it and get more ideas and learn from this how it can be applied. Do you have any suggestions for other professional homeopaths?
Yeah, they should consider all the elements, all the emotions, including love too. Actually, love is often neglected. The homeopathy physician, the general homeopathy physician, they only count the disappointment after love, the lovesick, or failure in love. But there are certain more rubrics. There are a number of rubrics pertaining to love, which we often miss. And there are single remedies. Sometimes there are first grade remedies appearing single, which can be helpful in curing the patient. Suppose there is a grief or sorrow in general due to death of loved one or loved friend, and due to the nursing of the loved one or after prolonged illness of the friend. Carcinosin and coculus, there are two remedies in equal grade. They both are in first grade. We only know coculus after nursing the sick. But carcinosin is first grade remedy if we are nursing a loved one, not professionally, but the loved one. Then carcinosin becomes a remedy. Mm-hmm. So in this way, we should know all the things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, tell us, I'm just opening this up to you to say, whatever you think that people should learn and know from your experience, do you have a specific case that you would want to share with us about
something
that maybe you learned?
Yeah. Recently, there was a girl about 22 years of age, and she got a disappointment from love and started a sort of ataxia. She could walk backwards, but cannot move forward. She was tottering. And after a dose of carcinosin 200, she was all right within 3 days. And previously, she was treated with allopath, and there was no improvement. They were giving only sedation and were telling that she is hysterical one. But there was no hysteria. That was a sort of ataxia. That was nervous ataxia was there. She could walk backward very well, but cannot move forward. This was the characteristic symptom for carcinosin.
Mm-hmm. And what about like people who see the loved one there when they're not really there? Is there something for that?
Yeah, to the sulfur.
Sulfur
is the remedy for that condition, yeah.
And how would we look this up as a rubric? Would we look up hears voices or sees, even if the person is alive but they're not really there? I mean, they're not in the proximity, you know, they're not with that person, but they, in other words, it's different from hearing voices of dead loved ones. That's a different type of a thing. But
yeah, this will come under delusions, actually.
It will come under delusion.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The ozone may be the remedy. Delusion, imaginations connected to his arrogant to what who is not strived to digital life. Ozone is the remedy which talks with imaginary persons it loves. And another one is Thuja. Yeah. Loved by, there is a sort of delusion that she is not loved by parents like Thuja.
Okay, that's a really important one to know. I think that a lot of children might feel rejected or unloved by their parents, and so
parents.
Okay,
and then Thuja is the remedy. And okay. In this, yeah, sometimes there is a delusion. She's or he's unfit for be for being loved. Germanium metallicum is the remedy. He feels that he is not fit for being loved. Then germanium, he feels pity. So
they don't feel worth. They have very little self worth.
Yeah.
Okay, and so these are very fine tuning. You know, you have to really finesse in differentiating the different types and qualities of love, and how to know exactly how to find the rubric,
yeah.
Which you're clearly showing us that the difference in how the person is viewing themselves in regard
yeah.
to feeling loved or feeling worthy or something very specific in learning how to look these up in the rubric. Do you
yeah.
take that from what the person says?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can take from the person, his voice, his views, and from our observations also. Because suppose there is a sort of grief for long lost loved one.
Mm-hmm.
The hippuric acid, maybe the drug.
Which one?
Hippuric acid. Yeah, hippuric acid.
Okay.
HIPP. This rubric will not be stated by the patient. This can be observed by a physician only. Because he's having problems due to long lost loved one. And mm-hmm. the patient has forgotten. He is not remembering the condition. But ailments have started after the death of your after the loss of certain loved person, and in turn, in chronic conditions, he is developing some sort of grief, and he is unable to explain why he said. Then hippuric acid is the remedy. The
mm-hmm.
second one is the ignatia.
Mm-hmm. Ignatia is probably the most familiar remedy for those who have an acute grief, acute loss. But you're
yeah.
saying there are other remedies that can cover
yeah.
this.
Yeah, of course. And therefore, the need of repertory was there, and I tried to prepare a repertory on love affections.
Okay, well, it's a beautiful thing. And just to let folks know where they can find the repertory that you have created, it is on homeopathyworldcommunity.com. And if you do a search for Repertory of Love, you will find Dr. Rajneesh Kumar Sharma, MD's webpage, his blog. He's both on the forums and the blog. It's Repertory, R-E-P-E-R-T-O-R-Y. And that's how you spell that. So I want to give you an opportunity to say whatever you feel is most important to tell the folks who are listening today. We're coming to the end of the show, and
yeah.
it's been a real pleasure to hear you speak, to hear your voice, and listen and learn
yeah.
from you.
Oh, thank you very much. And my message is hard work. In every case, during case taking, we should work very hard. We should listen to the patient very patiently, very religiously, I think. And we should analyze the patient with our whole heart. And we should analyze all the aspects, each and every corner of the patient. Then and only then we can find the simulimum.
Right. So bring your own heartfelt love to each patient to really
yeah.
listen completely to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to end the show today. I want to thank you so much for being on and taking the time. I know it's very late at night where you are.
No. You are most welcome. It is my pleasure to talk with you and to talk for homeopathy. I'm always
okay.
ready for that.
Okay. Wonderful. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and special guests. We encourage you to follow our show, favorite the show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when shows air, share with your friends on Facebook and Twitter, send in your comments and questions. See you the next time.
Homo, homo, empathy, homo, empathy, homo, homo, empathy.